I'm Matthew Petty, and this is Intersection. Orlando-based fine art photographer Josh Garrick has spent most of his career photographing ancient Greek artifacts and leading students' degrees to learn about the country's art and culture. Next month, a series of his photos goes on display at the National Archaeological Museum of Greece in Athens. Garrick's the first American to ever be showcased at the museum. I'll talk to Josh Garrick about his work and the importance and the challenge of preserving Greek art and architecture. That's ahead on Intersection. I'm joined in the studio now by Josh Garrick. Josh is an Orlando-based fine art photographer, and his work photographing Greek art will be on display at the National Archaeological Museum of Athens in Greece. Josh, thank you very much for joining me.
My pleasure.
Well, first of all, Josh, this is a pretty big feat for an artist. You're the first American artist to be displayed and also the first living artist to see his work exhibited in the museum and also the first non-Greek artist to have his work on display in this museum. Tell me about that.
Every time somebody does that, and it's pretty incredible, I start to feel it on my shoulders a whole lot for America and the rest of the world. But anyway, it's the incredible thing is, of course, that I've led 15 student groups to Greece. I as a teacher in this course called The Art and Culture of Ancient Greece. And we would always begin at the National Archaeological Museum in Athens. It's their number one museum. It's the largest museum in Greece. It's the most prestigious, and it's one of the top 10 museums of the world. The treasures there are just unbelievable. And I, of course, when I would be there, I would always be photographing them, and without ever dreaming that at some point in my life that I would exhibit there and then also be the first American to ever exhibit there. It's, I do feel the responsibility, Matt. I've got to admit that. And it just means that I've been working harder probably than I've ever worked in my whole life to put together the largest exhibition that I've ever done. And yes, it means everything in the world to me. It's the greatest honor I've ever had.
Well, tell me about the works you've got on display. I know there are some unique features about them, but they're not just your run of the mill average. Not to say average, but they're not maybe the typical photographs you might see in a museum.
Exactly. The biggest change, of course, is that they are black and white photographs, but they are printed on aluminum. It's a technique that I've been working with a company here, Triangle Reprographics, for many years to bring it to a point where it has these special qualities. And, of course, there is a luminous quality to the fact that it's printed on aluminum. It's brushed aluminum, so, I mean, it's not like shiny aluminum, but nevertheless, the pieces, as I said, they're black and white photography, printed on aluminum, and it gives it a quality that one person said is enhanced dimensionality, and I like that. One of my patrons over in Greece calls it 3D, and I don't care for that description. It's a strange kind of way of saying, but it does have this quality that draws you into the photograph in a way that a traditional photograph printed on paper does not.
Mm-hmm. Well, describe for me these photographs. How big are they?
They range in size. Some of them are really huge. You have to remember that we are now printing for a huge museum. I mean, the main room, which I'm honored to be represented in several places in the museum, and I will have at least one piece in the main room of the museum. Now, that's two stories tall, the room itself. And so the piece that's currently scheduled to be in that room is going to be 8 feet tall.
Wow, that's pretty big.
Yeah, it is. Especially when you're printing.
Now, does this technique of printing on aluminum, is it some way similar to when photographs were first being, you know, the technique of photography was first being developed? You had daguerreotypes and things like that. Is it a throwback to that era of photography?
It really, in some sense, does. People have said when they see smaller versions of the pictures. Now, I mean, the bulk of the pictures that are going to be in the museum, because that's another whole thing. I mean, they took it from a traditional museum count, which is 40 to 45 pieces, and I'm going to be showing 95 pieces at the museum. So that's another whole thing. But a lot of those pieces will be sort of the 8x10, 9x11 size, which is more traditional, but hung in a very interesting way that they're going to do this whole line of what are called portraits. And for that, what I did was I just went ahead and photographed a lot of heads, because remember, a lot of the statues that you see often don't have heads, and the reason for that is that in ancient times, collectors would come along and take the head because that's all they could carry. And, I mean, that's actually history. And so what we have today is, in some cases, we actually are able to put together this stolen head from, you know, centuries ago with a body. But a lot of them are simply heads. Mm-hmm. So what I did was I did a whole series of what I call portraits. And so that's going to be done in this very interesting configuration in the museum.
So these are portraits, photographs of Greek statues, the Greek gods, sort of elements of Greek mythology, and you've also got photographs of buildings, that architecture that
right.
you see sort of strewn around Greece if you take a tour there now.
Yes, indeed. But all over Greece. I mean, that's another whole thing, because having taught there for many years, I've also had the opportunity to see places in Greece that tourists don't go to certain places. For example, I find Sparta very interesting, although it really has none of the splendid ruins, say, for example, that Athens has.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been taking photographs of Greek art and architecture?
Over 30 years.
So this exhibition, does that span that entire career, or is it a more narrow slice of it?
The actual exhibition for the museum is more concentrated. What they wanted was, in their words, a dialogue between the contemporary work that I was doing. And by the way, the director of the museum, Dr. George Kakavas, who invited me, and thank you, George, but who invited me, is the one who came up with this idea of the way that I photograph. I photograph from sort of odd angles, Matthew, if you will. I mean, in other words, there are certain pictures that everybody would recognize, because if you had, say, for example, if you were in college and you took Art History 101, there are certain images that you will see, and those images are of things that are in the National Archaeological Museum of Greece, because that's where they reside.
Mm-hmm.
It's why I would go every year. Every year, I visit that museum at least once a year.
Mm-hmm.
And what I try to do is I try and take it from an angle that doesn't necessarily show up in Art History 101. I take it from a different point of view, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
And indeed, the image that, in a sense, helped the director of the museum to give the invitation to me is a shot that I did of a statue called the Little Jockey. And it's this tiny little jockey. He was a child, obviously, when he was racing, and he's on this huge horse. And all of this was dug up from the bottom of the sea and in very good condition. And everybody takes a picture of the little jockey from his face, which is a very interesting face. And of course, I mean, I have too. But the thing that the museum director liked so much is that I laid down on the floor, took the picture up and from behind, so that what I got was the horse sort of rearing up in the front in a way that it's simply not a photograph of that very famous statue that you've seen before. Mm-hmm. Now, imagine taking that curious angle, if you will, and then printing it on aluminum, and it is a different way to look at that statue.
Mm-hmm. So this is how your pieces were discovered, and this is how you got the invitation to have your work on display in the National Museum of Archaeology in Athens?
Indeed. I also have to give enormous credit and great thanks to the wonderful lady who is curating this whole thing, and her name is Iris Kritikou, who is the leading curator in Greece and who saw my work and immediately liked it. And without even telling me ahead of time, she went ahead and talked to the director of the museum, and that's how that interview came to be.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little more about why you wanted to have your works printed on aluminum. I mean, it's such an interesting technique, and as you say, there's not many people using this technique now. How did that whole thing come about?
That goes back about 6 years, and I honestly cannot remember which of us first thought of it, but the gentleman who has helped develop this, and I met through the Orlando Camera Club, and so I found out about this technique, and I think both of us thought that it might be an interesting way for me to show the black and whites that I was doing, especially at that time of the Parthenon. I mean, I was really doing a lot with the Parthenon at that time, have for many years. And so what I wanted to see was, how would that look? Say, for example, another one of my famous shots is just a row of pillars that go off into abstraction of the Parthenon. And at first, when you look at it, you're not even 100% sure of what you're looking at. And I like that quality. So we wanted to see how that was potentially going to look if printed with this new technique. And we liked it a lot. And then we spent some serious time playing around with things like the inks and that kind of thing to increase this dimensionality that I talked about. Mm-hmm. And it works.
Are you going to bring them back and let people see them once the exhibition's over in Greece?
Yes, indeed. Some very good news that I just got last week, as a matter of fact, is that the Greek consulate in New York City is going to invite us to show, of course, they wouldn't have the kind of space that the museum has, but the Greek consulate in New York City is going to show an exhibition when we get back. Mm-hmm. At some point. And there is discussion of several other places over in Europe before it comes back as well. So it just, the excitement continues.
Right. You're listening to Intersection on 90.7. I'm Matthew Petty. I'm talking to Josh Garrick. He's an Orlando-based fine art photographer, and his work photographing Greek art will be on display at the National Archaeological Museum of Athens in Greece. Well, tell me, I mean, this process of printing on aluminum, it's expensive, it's time-consuming, it's kind of unusual. In this day and age where photography it's so accessible to so many people, we have things like Instagram, people can basically post a photograph, you know, every couple seconds if they want to.
Right.
Do you feel like there is more potential now for, you know, just average people to become great photographers with all this accessibility of you know, digital cameras and ways to get those photographs out there?
Absolutely. I mean, there's no question about that. And in the introduction to my catalog for the museum, I actually discussed that. I taught years ago at the School of Visual Arts, and I taught when there was film. Like Ansel Adams, I taught the moment that you were catching. Now, of course, that has all changed, and it was very funny too, in a sense, because, you know, when things switched over to digital, I was one of the holdouts. I was I will always use film, and of course, that's ridiculous because they don't even make it anymore. That's part mm-hmm. of it, but But no, moving into the digital age, of course, has enormous benefits that we did not have even a few short years ago. It has both the good and the bad qualities that come along with technology. I mean, technology, of course, needs to be used well. I happen to be still old-fashioned enough, for example, that it sort of curdles my blood when I hear that someone has taken a soldier and placed him in a picture that he wasn't even in, or suddenly you have this beautiful shot of the moon over the Parthenon, and it was never even there. I mean, things like that do bother me. But I still believe in the integrity of the moment, and you can still have the integrity of the moment with a digital camera.
Now, you grew up in Pennsylvania. You describe yourself as a, quote, poor farm boy. How did you get into photographing Greek art and architecture, and what drew you to that in the first place?
Matt, it's a question that gets asked of me so many times, and there is no real clear answer to it. What I do remember is when I was in seventh grade. Now, you have to remember, I mean, really, farm boy from Pennsylvania, didn't even live near, I mean, the nearest big museum was Philadelphia, never got to go to see that. I do remember in seventh grade creating a little plaster of Paris, where you pour the plaster of Paris into a little mold, and I made a whole bunch of pillars, and I created a Greek temple out of white plaster of Paris in seventh grade. And I remember doing very well with it as a class project and entering it in the county fair. Okay, now remember, farm boy, and I got a ribbon at the county fair. And if we want to take it all back to that, we possibly could, but I prefer to think that at some point Zeus up there on Olympus decided that there was this American who was just going to spend his life helping to spread the good news of the treasures of Greece.
Mm-hmm. Do you still have that model?
No.
Well, let's talk about Greece too. I mean, it's clearly important to preserve some of the artifacts that you've been spending time taking photographs of. Other than photography, though, what is the Greek government doing to preserve some of these aspects of its heritage?
Well, the two biggest things are the fact, and I mean, of course, please understand, you know, that I'm only speaking this answer on behalf of the Greek government with great humility and happy to have had the invitation. But two of the things that they've done recently are, one, they have done a very thorough renovation of the National Archaeological Museum of Greece. I mean, it was always a beautiful museum, and the renovation has been wonderful. If possible, it's even more beautiful today, as I'm about to take my exhibition there, than it was before. And the other enormous thing is that they have created the brand new Acropolis Museum, which is a museum created especially to show the treasures that were up on the Acropolis. And of course, not only the Parthenon is up there, several other temples are there as well. And as they have excavated that over and over and over, some of the great treasures have shown there. So that, in a sense, needed its own museum, and there is this magnificent new museum. I think it's only 2 years old at this point. Again, I was granted special access to photograph inside that museum, so that was another special, very special day in my life. And so there are great treasures there, and the happiest part of that, as far as I'm concerned, is that on the top floor, they have a place that is set up right now, filled with, again, plaster models of the metopes that were taken from Greece and taken to England. And, of course, they're now in the British Museum. And there are some of us in the world, Greek lovers like myself, who feel that those marbles should now be returned to the museum that's been built for them.
Well, you mentioned the fact that Greece is obviously going through some economic turmoil at the moment. And I guess there is a question, too, as to, you know, how much money does it take? What sort of resources would they need to make sure they do preserve that culture. I mean, they're you know, they were on the brink of pretty serious crisis, and they're still recovering from that. Is there a sense that there's a danger that, you know, a country like that might not even be able to take care of its own treasures?
You almost have to go there yourself and see the way that they do take care of them. As I said, no one disputes the fact that there is an economic crisis. But to see how beautifully and carefully the pieces are handled. I mean, a perfect example is certain pieces that I've photographed that I'm actually happy with the photographs are photographed through plastic covers that most photographers would go, well, okay, you got to take the cover off or I can't even take a photograph of this thing. Well, that is simply not going to be a realistic situation. And so one of the things that I dealt with in terms of taking these photographs is that those vitrines, that's what the covers are called, the vitrines are not going to be taken off. The thing, they are there to protect these things. And they are protected. The other wonderful thing that I can say to Matt is that as I go around and as I meet some of the museum guards, okay, there are museum guards, of course, all over these museums, and then they see this crazy American who's lying on the floor taking a photograph up from an angle that they've never seen anybody do before, and they inevitably come over to me and they start to say something. In my little Greek and their little English, and we back and forth. And what I do is I use the camera to explain to them what I'm doing. And after a while, they get it. And a lot of smiling and a lot of showing them what I'm doing has to do with how these shots get taken.
Well, let me ask you, too. You've focused pretty exclusively on Greece, but there are other countries, Turkey, for example, Italy, where they also have this hoard of ancient treasure and you know, this wealth of Roman era, Greek era architecture and art. Do you have concerns about some of that artwork being repatriated as well, and you know, that some of that architecture being taken care of too?
Those countries also certainly understand the what these things are worth. One of the biggest ways in which it does come back to countries like that, a perfect example is Ephesus, which is in Turkey. And Ephesus was an extraordinary Greek city. It happened to be a colony that came out from the mainland of Greece, but it turned into a major city. And if you visit Ephesus today, you'll see magnificent ruins, which are now being taken care of by the Turkish government because it happens to be on Turkey. Troy, of course, the site of Troy is in Turkey. There are lots of areas in the ancient world that were affected, of course, by the Greek Hellenistic culture. Alexander the Great Alexandria, Egypt, exists today because Alexander the Great conquered Egypt at that time. And we are still finding things. We're finding things in the bay around Alexandria, Egypt, that go back to the time of the Ptolemies, which is the direct descendants of Alexander.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, though, I know that in some cases there is more attention paid now to taking care of things like statuary and ancient buildings. And as you say, back in the past, someone like Lord Elgin might not have had a second thought about removing statues and taking them back to England for display. Maybe there's more kind of a sense of a morality about now about, you know, taking care of pieces in place.
Absolutely. There is no question that there is, there's absolutely a greater sense of morality in terms of what one country owes to another country. The whole thing about Lord Elgin from Greece taking so many pieces from the Parthenon, that was controversial even then. Mm-hmm. It's extremely controversial today, as we've already covered. But yes, we do. I think it speaks well of us as the advance of human civilization goes forward, that I think that we do have this feeling of a much better understanding of what perhaps belongs to a certain place because that's where it was created. Mm-hmm. When I teach my students about the Parthenon, so many people call the pieces in the British Museum by the name of the English person who took them.
The Elgin Marbles.
See, I don't really say that. My students are all learn immediately to call them the Phidian Marbles, for Phidias, who was the sculptor who created them. To rename them for the man who took them is just the most incredible insult to that genius artist who gave us some of the greatest sculptures that man has ever seen.
That's kind of hard to reverse the flow of that in some cases.
But there are those of us who will. I mean, we will work at it. I mean, mm-hmm. the hundreds of students that I took to Greece, and the interesting thing is that I still hear from them. I mean, I still regularly hear from they know something about why they should be called the Phidian Marbles, and that's all we can do. I mean, as individuals, people who care, we can do our part, and we're not here to, you know, debate the good and the bad of Lord Elgin, but what we are here to do is to celebrate the greatness of what that period of time represented and the way in which it is being protected and taken care of in contemporary Greece. And I'm proud of them for how they do that. It also leads to an unasked question, and that is, how do we in some ways relate to these extraordinary pieces that we are not allowed to touch? We may not touch them. Well, I hold that photography is a way of communicating with a piece. And what I hope to do with my work is to set up this dialogue that Dr. Kakavas asked for in the first place, which is for the people to look at the works that I've photographed and then look at the real pieces and perhaps see them in another way, see them, give them perhaps a more contemporary understanding of something that happened 2,400 years ago.
I've been speaking to Josh Garrick. He's an Orlando-based fine art photographer. His work photographing Greek art will be on display at the National Archaeological Museum of Athens in Greece. Josh, thank you very much for speaking to me.
It was a pleasure to be here.
The conversation about what's happening in Florida continues online at wmfe.org/intersection. There you can also sign up for our weekly podcast. Support for Intersection comes from our listeners. Brendan Byrne is assistant producer. I'm Matthew Petty. Thanks for listening.